This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Okay, it's time to play Make Pretend. That's what we're going to do for the next year and a half. Let's play Make Pretend. Joe Biden's 80 years old. He's an old 80, as you can tell by the way he walks and moves and talks and forgets and stumbles and bumbles and makes things up. He's got about a dozen symptoms of dementia. Clear as day. He cannot walk anymore without falling on his face. And we all have to pretend he's just, you know, just it happens. You know, it happens. People fall down. People forget things. He is running. We know he's president, or sort of. We know he's the president. He's running for another 4 years. Okay, we can all just pretend that he's a legitimate candidate, that he will campaign, that he will debate, that he will, he's hoping to be reelected and serve another 4 years. All right, now let's stop pretending. That isn't possible. He cannot do it. He physically, mentally cannot do it. It is not possible for Joe Biden to run for reelection, to win reelection, and serve 4 more years. The whole country, I'm not just the mainstream media, we're all just sitting here pretending that that's a realistic possibility. It is not. I'm going to say definitively right now that he will not be the nominee, that he will not be the president in a year and a half or in 19 months. That's not, my partisan hot take saying, you know, he's a terrible president, he's a terrible human being, he's a terrible father, a terrible grandfather, he should not be president. He just physically can't do it. And at some point, we're all going to have to get on board with this. We're all going to have to agree. A CNN commentator let this slip during a discussion about the Great Fall at the Air Force Academy. He said, let me get his name because this is kind of funny. I believe he's a doctor. His name is Reiner, Dr. Reiner. Jonathan Reiner said that Joe Biden needs a cane or a walker. This is on CNN. I'm sure that someone got in trouble for letting this actually air. It must have been live or they would have cut it. But if Joe Biden weren't president, he would already have a cane or a walker or a wheelchair. That's what happens when you're 80 and you have dementia and you have arthritis in your spine. I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know a lot about this. What he's going through right now is tragic. It's sad. It's brutal for the family. His family is not like other families, though. His family does not care about him. His family, including his wretched wife, the worst elder abuser in the world, want him to continue to attempt to be president of the United States. They will shove him out on stage where he repeatedly, consistently embarrasses himself. The whole world is watching this, not just this country, the whole world. Can you imagine sitting with Putin or Xi or Kim Jong-un and seeing him after delivering an incoherent speech to Air Force, the graduates of Air Force Academy, fall, stumble, and not be able to get up? By the way, he could not get up on his own. He needed help. This is what happens to 80-year-olds. And here's the biggest problem as we watch this. And again, lots of people think you shouldn't laugh at this. It's hard not to, because we're not talking about some well-meaning, decent old guy. We're talking about the worst president we've ever had, who's done immeasurable damage to this country. I don't want him to be president. I certainly don't want him to get reelected, but I don't think I have to worry about that. If you're a Democrat, you have to worry. He can't do it. They're going to try to protect him. They're going to try to get through the campaign without debates, without even acknowledging that Robert Kennedy Jr. is a viable candidate. They're going to do what they did 4 years ago, hide him out 3 years ago, hide him out, leave him in the basement, leave him in the Oval Office, and let the media do the campaigning for him. It's not going to work. It can't work. It's the hardest job in the world. We all agree. You can't just go through the motions. You can't just put in 2 or 3 hour days and 4 day work weeks. It is stressful. It is pressure packed. You need someone with all his faculties. Hell, that's the number one reason for me to support Ron DeSantis. Now, Donald Trump is not senile. He does not appear to have dementia, but he's 76. He'll be 78 when his next term starts. He'll be 82 when his next term ends. I've been talking for the last 2.5 years about an 80-year-old president and how it's just, it's wrong. It is wrong. We should have age limit. We should have an age limit. You shouldn't be able to be president past 75, period. The job is too important. The country is too important. The idea that this man is so gifted and so talented and so competent that we'll make an exception and let him be president when he couldn't be a mailman. He couldn't be a teacher. He couldn't be an Amazon delivery guy. You wouldn't trust him to take a grocery list and go to the store and get all the things on the list. That is a fact. I mean, I'm not kidding. They make most federal employees retire. Hell, they make most private sector employees retire years and years before 80. And yet the hardest job, the most important job, we are trusting to a man who is unfit physically, unfit mentally. And now we're all supposed to pretend he's an actual candidate for re-election. That can't happen. It won't happen. And we'll soon have a free-for-all. Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, who knows who else. We'll have other people. As soon as they admit that Joe Biden is not physically or mentally capable, the whole field opens up and it'll be just like the Republicans. There'll be 8, 9, 10 candidates. There'll be debates. There'll be campaigns. And we can all tell the truth. We can all admit the truth that this just can't happen. You can't. And forget the fact that he's a terrible president. The next 4 years are going to be really important. There's stuff happening all over the world. There's a war in Ukraine, which he has escalated. And many of us feel it's inevitable that we're going to be involved, further involved in this proxy war in Ukraine. And you want a president who's not only compromised, and we'll get to that, the latest on the bribes this man took when he was vice president, but you want to entrust all the troubles in the world to a man who can't walk, who can't talk, who can't read a teleprompter. And here's the problem. I've seen this too in some octogenarians. He's too prideful. He's too full of himself to ever use a cane. He won't use a cane. He won't use a walker. Even if his own doctors say you need to use a cane, falling when you're 80 is really dangerous. And here is the worst part. Here is the dirty little secret. The fall you saw, we know it's not the first. We've seen him stumble. We saw him fall off his bike. By the way, time to take the keys away to the bike. He shouldn't be riding a bike. So, I mean, think of this. If he were a regular private citizen, would his children and grandchildren allow him to drive? Of course not. Of course not. He shouldn't be driving. He shouldn't be biking. He certainly shouldn't be running. Here he is on the screen. This is the funny part. He wants to show you that he has pep in his step. There's a commercial, by the way. See if you can find this, Ironhead. Greg Kelly played this last night on Newsmax. His theme of his campaign, one of the themes, was that he is always on the go. He's always running places, and you better just try to keep up. It's hard to keep up with Joe Biden. Obviously, the message was he's still virile, but it's not exactly what's happening here. He's fake running, trying to show that he's got energy and pep in his step. And what does he do? Stumbles. They, you know, allege he trips over a sandbag. I don't think he tripped over anything. He tripped over his own feet. But again, here's the dirty secret here. It's going to happen again and again and again. That's what happens to 80-year-olds who fall. They continue to fall. They continue to fall and not be able to get up. This is what lots of families, millions of American families have gone through with parents and grandparents. Falling is a real problem when you're 80 for a couple of reasons. One, it's a sign of other things. I sound like Trump now, of bad things. It's a sign of bad things. Dementia, Alzheimer's, there are issues here. And secondly, your body is frail. Your bones are frail. This is how you break your hip. I lived through this. I lived through this with my parents, particularly my mother. I'm living through it with other family members right now. They fall. And when they fall, not only do they have trouble getting up, they break things. They split the skin. They and sometimes suffer head injuries. This is serious. This is beyond serious. I understand people don't want you laughing about it. Donald Trump lectured Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity admitted on this town hall, which, by the way, was lifeless and boring. The town hall with Hannity, it was, again, Donald Trump just saying the same things over and over and over again. It was tedious. The town hall with Caitlin Collins, where she fought with him and interrupted him and fact-checked him, was much better. It was at least, you know, a little tense. This one was just dull. But he tells the story of Sean Hannity making fun of Biden for being old and senile. And he used to say things like, I don't even understand this, but Hannity would say, give him his sippy cup and put him to bed and tuck him in and give him his ice cream. Trump says on this, or Hannity admits that Trump called him and told him not to do that. Don't make fun of Biden for his age. And I understand the reason he's doing that is because Trump can't play the age card. I mean, he can mention that Joe Biden is incoherent, but he can't say we can't have an 80-year-old president. He'll be 80 if he wins this election in his second year. We shouldn't have an 80-year-old president. I don't care how much you love Donald Trump. I like him. I enjoyed, you know, I will support him if he's the nominee. I'll say it again. But I can't sit here for 2-3 years and say we can't have an 80-year-old president. The job is too hard. The job is too important. And then turn around and throw my support by a guy who will be 82 at the end of his term. Why is it so important to have this one man? We are a country of laws. We're not a country of men. There's another guy running. He's 44 years old. He has many of the same policies as Donald Trump. He's not in any danger of dementia seeping, no danger of him falling down and tripping over nothing. We have to stop this. This is not good. This is not normal. You can't pretend Joe Biden is a viable candidate for office. He is not. It just isn't going to work. I don't know if you saw the actor James Van Beek, whatever his name is, from
James Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek, and he's pissed because they're not going to have debates. They're not going to allow Joe Biden to take the debate stage and debate Robert Kennedy Jr. or anyone else. It's like we're all supposed to say, sure, you can protect this dementia patient and help usher him into office again to re-election. Why? Because you hate Trump? Because you want an open border? Because, you know, you want war in Ukraine? I don't care if you support his policies. Find another candidate with the same policies. This guy is not fit for office. This is such a charade. This is such a lie we're living through right now, that this guy can do the job. He can't. We have proof. Before he fell, he was talking gibberish, absolute gibberish. Was this the CNN doctor?
Yeah.
Let's watch and listen to, I just read this, I didn't even hear, Jonathan Reiner admit on CNN that their guy, their candidate, should be using a cane. And by the way, he'll never do that. He's too vain. Joe Biden will not even be seen with reading glasses. He's 80 and he's too vain to use reading glasses. By the way, so is Trump. These are two guys. Trump's 76, Joe Biden's 80, and neither of them has ever been seen with reading glasses, which is just nuts. What's the problem? You're 80. It happens. We get old. We need glasses to read. And he won't wear them because he's so vain. We know he's had facelifts and Botox and fake hair and everything else. But this guy will never use a cane. And that's the that's one of the big problems with people when they get to this age. They resist. They don't want to be seen with a walker. They don't want to be seen with a cane or in a wheelchair. And what happens? They try to walk. They try to run. And boom, they go down again. And something really awful happens. I think we're heading for that moment with Joe Biden, who will not use a walker or a cane, who will not stop pretending to run, who thinks he can do this. He can't. It's not his fault. It's biology. It's old age. So this, what we saw yesterday, was bad. It's going to get worse. Let's listen to the apostate on CNN say their guy really should use a cane.
And for the people just listening, on the screen on CNN, they have Trump carefully walking down a wet ramp trying to compare the two.
President Trump was very self-conscious about that incident, and he was quite concerned about falling. Look, I would suggest to the president that he really needs to be careful. And on unsteady ground, it wouldn't be the worst thing for the president to use a cane. I know he may not like the optics, but falling appears much worse.
Say goodbye to Dr. Reiner. He'll never be there again. Yeah, we get the numbers here. When Trump walked down a ramp slowly, and he talked about this with Hannity, it was a wet ramp, a wet day, and he walked slowly, had dress shoes on, walked slowly down a ramp. It was huge news. The Newsbusters has this. They spent, let me see, between CNN and MSNBC, they spent 50 minutes analyzing Trump walking slowly down a ramp. I think they spent, I'll get the number, I think they spent like 2 minutes on Joe Biden falling, face planting on his face. They brought, you have those headlines too. We get the news stories of them covering Trump walking down a ramp. It's just one story after another about his health, about concerns for his health. Because, it wasn't a good look, but he didn't want to fall. It's kind of what you should do if it's slippery and you're old. Headlines of in the New York Times, Trump's halting walk raises new health questions. The president appeared to have trouble raising a glass to his mouth during his speech at West Point a day before he turned 74, the oldest president ever in his first term. That's the New York Times. Washington Post, Trump tries to explain his slow, unsteady walk down a ramp at West Point. CNN, why the Donald Trump West Point ramp story matters. Analysis by CNN's Chris Caliza. So they analyzed his slow walk down a ramp. And by the way, they showed it yesterday about 100 times. And they glossed over Joe Biden face planting and not being able to get up again. By the way, when he was on the ground, they got that photo. Joe Biden has special rubber soles.
Yes, he does.
You know, like cleats on his dress shoes to avoid this very thing. I believe the time on the network spent on Biden is like 2 or 3 minutes, 50 minutes talking about Trump slowly shuffling down the ramp when he was 74. Here's their out on this. It's uncomfortable. You know, it's elder abuse. It's just not, it's ageism. Here are his shoes. Look at those. They're like rubbers. And they blame it on the sandbag. I don't think the sandbag had anything to do with it. I just think he tries to run to show that he's got a little pep. He can't. He's unable to run. I don't care if he's the nominee. He's certainly the easiest one to beat, despite the fact that he'll have 100% of the media campaigning for him, or 95%. He's the easiest one to beat. He will be a disaster in the debates, particularly if he debates DeSantis. And it gives the Republicans the best chance. It's certainly easier to beat Joe Biden than it would be to beat Gavin Newsom. But I would say Kamala Harris would be just as easy to beat. So I don't care if he runs again. But what you're hearing now is one big lie, that he's somehow viable, that he somehow can do this. Either these are people who don't understand what happens after you turn 80, or they're just flat out lying to you because they hate Trump so much and they want to get Biden reelected. You're going to see misinformation in the next year and a half like you've never seen before. They must prop up their guy, and it gets harder every day. All right, let's get to before he fell. Before he fell. And let me give you the before, because this made me laugh out loud. This is a New York Times story, the actual story from the New York Times yesterday from Michael Shear. He's a political writer for the New York Times. This is after he fell. And we know the image, the video of him falling went global. Everybody saw it. It was uncomfortable. It was embarrassing for the nation. They write, here's the lead. Biden tripped and fell after delivering a speech and handing out diplomas to graduates of Air Force Academy Thursday. Mr. Biden, who is 80, was helped up and appeared to recover quickly. Biden's fall was captured on a video and spread on social media. He appears to trip, fall to his knees, and catch himself. He was helped up by several Air Force officials and Secret Service agents and walked back to his seat. Mr. Biden had just delivered an energetic speech to Air Force grads before helping to hand out diplomas. He fell after he distributed the final diploma and headed to his seat. He's fine. Embarrassing moments are not uncommon for presidents who spend much of their tenure in front of cameras. President Gerald Ford was repeatedly roasted by comedians for frequently tripping. Donald Trump, a day before his 74th birthday, appeared slow and unsteady as he walked down a ramp. That's the Gerald Ford is in the third paragraph. Trump's in the fourth paragraph after Joe Biden lands on his face in front of the world and delivered an energetic speech. And they go through the speech and they literally talk about it as if it wasn't as big a disaster as the fall. We have some receipts. This is unbelievable. This speech was as incoherent, as tired, as pathetic as any speech he's given recently. And the Air Force Academy grads are looking at him going, what is wrong with him? This is one of those moments where you say, this man isn't well. I know we have a bunch of cuts, but what do we want to start with, Ironhead?
We can go with you want to go with the flyover?
Yeah, the flyover. This is the one he can't think of the word pilots or Thunderbirds. He can't think who's up there flying those planes. Go ahead, play it.
By the way, I met with who are those guys that fly over shortly? You heard of them, haven't you? Three of them are women.
Oh, good for you, Joe. Yes.
So don't screw around, guys.
What is that? First of all, who cares?
They're going to accidentally crash into the ceremony.
And he's bragging. He brags about how diverse the class is. They lowered standards to advance diversity at the Air Force Academy. And he's bragging. I don't know how many Thunderbirds there were, that some of them are women. So what? What is that supposed to? This is the greatest example. There's no other place in the world where you want merit, where you don't want diversity for diversity's sake. He's bragging about diversity at the Air Force Academy. These are pilots. Some of them are going to be commercial airline pilots in whatever, 5-10 years. And you're supposed to care what sex they are, what color they are, what sexual orientation they have. You want to do that in your DEI department. You want to do that with some of your phony appointees to, you know, to the whatever, the nuclear waste guy or the HHS or whatever. That's one thing. Nobody wants diversity to be a priority when you're hiring, training pilots. And he's bragging about it. He did it two or three other times, talking about how diverse the class is. And I'm saying, who gives a damn? They're pilots. We don't care about diversity. It's like saying, oh, gee, you know, you need a brain tumor taken out of your head, you know, by a surgeon. We have the most diverse surgeons anywhere. Aren't you happy?
And he's not.
Yeah.
He's not even happy.
What I want.
Yeah, he's
diversity.
He's not even happy when he's saying it. He sounds furious.
I mean, all right, what else we got from this bumbling, incoherent buffoon?
This is him screaming at everyone about how diverse they are.
Oh, good. Let's listen. That's really important as we train our pilots. Go ahead.
And your class is one of the diverse, most diverse classes in the history of this academy or any academy to graduate. That's why we're strong. That's why we're who we are. That's why we'll never give up. That's why.
Okay, they're the most diverse class. That means they have the most whatever. Cadets of color and women and gay guys, I guess. That's why we're strong? What does that mean? Does anyone want to explain it to me? What does that mean? We're strong because we have more minorities, more gay guys, more women flying the planes? Why does that make us strong? That's why. He couldn't remember the last line. I know. That's why.
He just comes out with noises like,
and these poor cadets have to fake clap. They're sitting there going, who gives a damn? I mean, they're looking, they're thinking we're flying these jets, these, you know, $100 million machines and, you know, maybe going to war. And it's important that, you know, we have women or whatever, but no, it's just insane, utterly insane. But we have, what was that other? We also have him telling one of his usual lies. He loves to tell these the same lie over and over again, talking about how he almost went to the Naval Academy, but he was a really good football player, and Joe Bellino and Roger Staubach were in his way, so he went to the University of Delaware. This is something that if you, some guy you just met in the street told you, yeah, I was going to go to Annapolis or West Point, I would want to play football, and they had a really good quarterback, and I'm a quarterback. I mean, you'd say, what a lie. What a ridiculous fable. This is the president of the United States who is a child, a 12-year-old boy trying to impress other kids in class, telling you how good he was at football and how he was going to go to Navy. But Staubach was already there, and, you know, he didn't know if he could beat him out, so he had to go somewhere else. Just so absurd. The New York Times thought this was a wonderful speech, and he was full of energy. Go ahead, play this.
When I was graduating from high school 300 years ago,
waka, waka, waka,
I applied to the Naval Academy, and I was picked by Senator, there's two ways senators can pick. You can pick individually, or they can name 10 people and let the academy choose. And I was a relatively good football player, so I had a shot. And I remember the day that a guy named Steve Dunning from my class was also nominated. Drove up, was about 7 in the morning, we were going to drive down to Annapolis, and I had just heard the night before they had a halfback named Joe Bellino. Won the Heisman Trophy, and a quarterback named Roger Staubach. I went to Delaware.
Did you?
He was going to go to Annapolis, but Roger Staubach and Joe Bellino were in the way. What a lie. Who is that supposed to impress? A, nobody believes it. But even if you believed it, you're saying you're 80. Who gives a damn? You're president. God, he's just so pathetic and just so insecure. All right, we got to move. We have Joe Biden being asked about getting old, people questioning his fitness for office. What is his response?
I don't even know what this is. This is him eventually talking about push-ups, but none of it makes sense.
Oh, that's true. We got this other. This is Joe. New York Times thought this was a real impressive, energetic speech. Let's listen to him talk about something nobody understands. Nobody knows what he's talking about, including the cadets who are all around him. But go ahead, play it.
It wasn't all push-ups and cramming for Prague Week, though to set the Guinness Book of Records, world records, most simultaneous push-ups, there had to be an enormous amount of push-ups. But all of you, I think you had some fun along the way. Maybe a good use of your epic passes.
Good use of
that would be reason enough to join.
Maybe I'm not up to speed. I don't know what any of that means. This is before he fell on his face. This is the day that any honest Democrat, any honest, you know, media person, there certainly isn't any of those, but would admit it's over. He can't run for office again. I don't even think he can make it through this term, let alone serve another term. His wife is an awful person. His family, they're awful, terrible people for forcing this on their father, grandfather, husband. Why would you want to see your loved one go through this? You're supposed to protect him. You're supposed to take the keys away. You don't let him behind the wheel when he's in this kind of, when he's in this condition. This is Trump in Iowa when he's informed that Joe Biden just fell. Let's watch.
He's at the Air Force Academy. He actually fell down. Well, I hope he wasn't hurt. I hope he wasn't hurt. But it's the whole thing is, look, the whole thing is crazy. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about that because you don't want that. Even if you have to tiptoe down a ramp, you got to.
He's good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I watched the Hannity Town Hall. It was not great. Not great. He just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. And he keeps talking about 2020. And he keeps talking about his first term, not about his second term. It's any idea that he could fix all the problems in 5 months. He knows the one thing that the real edge DeSantis has, two edges. He's young. He's 32 years younger, and he can serve two terms. Trump can't. And he says he could get everything done in 6 months. Of course, he had 4 years and didn't get it done. I know he was hamstrung, but I don't think that's a good retort to DeSantis's talking point here. But we got lots to get to. We got to get to the condition of Jamie Foxx. This is scary. And why Ironhead's feeling so good about it. We got the latest on the biggest scandal in American political history, which is unfolding. The media's ignoring it for the most part. But Joe Biden took bribes when he was vice president. He took bribes. That's the claim of James Comer, and I have no reason to doubt it. We have a beautiful cover model on Glamour magazine. You know, she's a babe, man. The latest faculty member at Harvard, imagine you're a father, mother, and you send your kid to Harvard and you find out she or he is in a class with Lori Lightfoot or Brian Stelter or Bill de Blasio. Those are staff members, faculty members at Harvard. God, that's embarrassing. We'll get to all that. But first, in a startling description, the UN food chief warned the world with the words, quote, knocking on famine's door. He called what we're facing a perfect storm of a perfect storm. And he's not alone. Barron's published that a food shortage could be coming even in the U.S. Farmers see it too. John Boyd Jr., a fourth generation farmer, told Fox News that we're, quote, going to see empty food shelves in coming months. That's why getting survival food is more important than ever now. Create your own stockpile of the best selling four Patriot survival food kits. It's not ordinary food. We're talking good for 25 years, super survival food, hand packed in a family owned facility in the U.S., giving jobs to more than 200 Americans. They have different delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners. You can make these meals in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve. And right now, for the next few days, listeners of Newsmax will get 10% off their first order at 4patriots.com by using promo code Newsmax. Go to 4patriots.com, that's the number 4patriots.com, and use promo code Newsmax to start your stockpile today. And it is a Rumble Friday. You can watch this show over the weekend on the Rumble Newsmax Rumble page. I wish they would put it up there every day. We're working on that. We'll get that done someday. But right now, they throw us up there on the weekends. You get to watch the Friday show and get to see all of Ironhead's masterwork in the background there. But this was on Rob Schmidt's show. And I'm watching. He does an excellent job. But I'm watching Newsmax last night. Brings on James Comer. And I'm thinking, we're going to spend the day talking about the fall. Lots of people are talking about the fall. It's important. Talking about Trump versus DeSantis and how did DeSantis react to this and Trump react to that. This somehow goes under the radar. And even I didn't even see much on it on Fox News, but Newsmax covered it. And it's the House head of the House Oversight Committee talking about the document, which the FBI has had for a couple of years. This is how corrupt the FBI is, in case you were wondering, in case you didn't know. The documents from a whistleblower who claims Biden was taking bribes. They will not turn it over. Apparently Monday, the FBI is going to go to Capitol Hill with the document and allow Comer and Chuck Grassley to view it. But Comer has seen evidence and he's made claims. And I don't care if you don't, if you doubt them or you don't believe them, whatever. This is a member of Congress, a chairman of a committee, claiming that Joe Biden, while vice president, was taking bribes, multiple bribes. We already know his family took $10 million. And he points this out all the time, and people just want to ignore it. His family set up 20 LLCs. They were exchanging encrypted messages. They were going to great pains to cover up this scam. What more do you need to know than the Biden family created 20 LLCs to hide this business? What more? If you just had that and it was Trump or it was DeSantis or it was Bush or Romney, it would be nonstop coverage all day, every day on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, New York Times. It would be endless. We would be bludgeoned with it. They're saying Joe Biden, sitting vice president, took a $5 million bribe. He won't say what country, but Comer said that China is the most reputable country they took money from. He took money. I don't know who the other country is, but it's a rogue nation and an adversary. And they were paying our vice president for policy decisions. That's the claim. Now, Comer's going to have to back it up. The FBI is fighting, is obstructing at every turn. It's not going to be easy. But let's just work with me for a second. What if he does? What if he next week produces the document, produces the whistleblower, and we have proof that Biden, then what? Then what? I guess they, you know what they do? They arrest Trump for the classified documents. That's what they do. That will be the reaction if he indeed proves that Biden took bribes. But let's watch a little bit of this, because I'm watching, I'm saying, this is such big news. I mean, don't journalists have any pride left, any dignity, any professionalism? I guess not, because they refuse to cover this. And by any measure, it's a huge story. Let's watch.
Is there, can you tell us anything about who made the payment in the allegation?
It was a country that we haven't discussed yet.
It's not Romania, it's not China, it's not Ukraine.
It's not Romania, it's not China. It is another country that we'll be discussing further. We're trying to track down some new bank account. But look at what we have, Rob. We have a president of the United States whose family, while he was vice president, created these shell companies. And I don't think a lot of the liberal elitists that are in the media now even know what a shell company is. I learned that they didn't know what an LLC was.
Right.
But they've got these fake companies that were created when Joe Biden was vice president for the sole purpose of profiting off his position as vice president. And now he's president of the United States. Is he compromised? Is he making bad decisions that put America last because of his being in a compromised position or his continual bribery? We don't know.
That's why we're investigating. The allegation, how much money are we talking?
$5 million on this one. But, Rob, I think you're going to see that the Biden family took in somewhere. We've already proven $10 million. I think that this is going to end up being somewhere between $15 and $30 million.
Adversarial country or just...
Adversarial country.
Really?
I tell people... The most reputable country that I have found that the Biden family was taking money from was China, if that tells you anything. These are countries that Fortune 500 companies wouldn't even do business in. These are the few countries on the planet that that Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble don't even want to deal with. So this goes to show that this president has a lot of explaining to do, because no private sector businesses, or let me rephrase that, few private sector businesses or industries even fool with a lot of these countries. So why is Joe Biden's family receiving money? Here we have a credible witness, a credible informant that made this accusation years before anyone knew about the shell companies or the family receiving wires. And I think what we've done is what the FBI should have done a long time ago. We've been digging, and we've actually got credible evidence in the form of bank record, in the form of the people who we've been interviewing. Obviously, we knew where to look for these bank accounts. We got into the Treasury cabinet. We saw these bank violations. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is corruption on a scale we've never seen in the history of our country. And yet very few media outlets are even covering it. Thank you for what you're doing. We're going to continue to dig. We're going to continue to follow the money. And we're going to present the truth to the American people once and for all.
Wow. I mean, that is just unbelievable. After he did this, I was just flipping around. I said, I wonder what they're, you know, I was tweeting about it. So I said, what are they covering on CNN? They put James Comer, James Comey, not James Comer, James Comey, former corrupt FBI director, on all their shows to promote his novel. He wrote a novel and he comes on to defend the FBI. And they don't even ask about this. They talk about Trump's documents, classified documents. They're going to arrest Donald Trump for classified documents, for taking them to Mar-a-Lago. And two things, well, the two reasons for that. They want to, obviously they hate Trump, want to hurt Trump, but they want to distract from this. This is a much, much, much bigger scandal. And they just have no interest. We have no media. Journalism is so dead in this country. That is a chairman of a committee telling you it's the worst corruption in American history. And the media will not give it a minute, not a minute. Just, oh, look, James Comey wrote a novel. Imagine what a piece of garbage that is. And they want to promote it and have him tell you, well, see how virtuous the FBI is. Just incredible. But we got to move. We got to move. We got to move. Let's get to, you want to get to this Jamie Foxx story?
Sure.
I can tie it in. I can tie it in. Trump was asked yesterday in Iowa by just some person about the vaccine, saying it hurt a lot of people. You know, there were a lot of side effects, a lot of vaccine injury. Is this the moment? Let's watch as he's asked by just some Iowan about his feelings on the vaccine now. This is a tough one for our 45th president. He was very proud of getting the vaccine out there quickly, very proud. It didn't work. We know that. I mean, it was advisable for 80-year-olds. If you're Joe Biden, you know, Chuck Grassley, you should take the vaccine. If you're Ironhead, even though you're a little on the husky side, no, you shouldn't.
I'm slimming down slowly.
That's true. It's not worth the risk. We all know that now. There's absolutely no reason for those Air Force cadets we just saw, none, for any of them to get it. They were forced to get it. Some of them had side effects. Some of them didn't. But it was indeed a crazy moment in this country's history where
we still don't even know that it helped the old people.
I think it did. I think it prevented severe hospitalization and death. Maybe not. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe we'll find out. But it certainly wasn't advisable for young, healthy people. And the idea that we mandated it and forced people to get it, or kicked them out of the army, or kicked them out of federal jobs or police forces, is insane.
Goodbye, YouTube.
I can't believe we lived through this. The country was kicking people, first responders who were there when the pandemic was raging, doing their job without the vaccine, were on the scene, exposing themselves to all kinds of infection. Those people were fired when they wouldn't get the vaccine, a year later, 6 months later. Just crazy times in this country. Trump's going to have to explain that. Trump has this big albatross hanging around his neck, and it's named Anthony Fauci. He handed the country to Fauci. He does not have the moral high ground on COVID with anybody, let alone DeSantis. He's lying about DeSantis doing a worse job than Cuomo. That is laughable. He said it to a crowded room and nobody cheers. Nobody agrees. Everybody knows DeSantis, even the staunchest Trump supporter knows DeSantis did a good job on COVID and Cuomo was the worst. Cuomo belongs in prison. He killed people. He put COVID patients in nursing homes and killed elderly New Yorkers. We all know that. Trump's trying to say that Cuomo's worse than DeSantis. That is a joke. But listen to this person ask about vaccines and listen to Trump's response. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody wanted a vaccine at that time. And I was able to do something that nobody else could have done, getting it done very, very rapidly. But I never was for mandates. I thought the mandates were terrible. And And, you know, there's a big portion of the country that thinks that was a great thing. You understand that. Not a lot of the people in this room, but there's a big, but there is a big portion.
All right. Think of what he just said. He's talking to, you know, people in Iowa, people who are active in politics, who are going to be at the caucuses choosing a candidate. He says, there's people who think the vaccine, people in this country think vaccines are great. Maybe not the people in this room. The people in this room are the ones deciding whether you're the candidate. The people who love the vaccines, they're not even Republicans, let alone Iowa Republicans. He's talking about Martha's Vineyard. You know, he's talking about New York City or whatever, the Hamptons, who love, who still love vaccines, who still get vaccines. He's talking about Democrats. That's a problem for Trump. That is a winning issue for DeSantis. DeSantis has not had much of a bump in the polls, but he's still the biggest threat. And here's the way you can tell. The media is coming after him relentlessly, and they got nothing. They're saying, oh, he's stiff. Oh, he's, you know, I guess if you're on The View, you call him a fascist. Little Mussolini is what Joy Reid calls him. Little Mussolini. For what? The guy who opened his state.
How clever.
But what makes him Mussolini? It's just insane. So, you know, little kindergarten teachers can't talk about their sex life with their students. Oh, what a fascist. They got nothing, which is why I want, which is one of the reasons I want DeSantis, just to emasculate the media. They want Trump. They want to talk about classified documents. They want to talk about E. Jean Carroll and Stormy Daniels and January 6th. That all comes off the table if the nominee is Ron DeSantis. Nothing personal against Donald Trump, who looked tired last night, looked his age with Hannity, was not really entertaining, was not particularly funny, or and just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. I'm tired of it. Maybe I got to stop watching all these events because they're all the same. But anyway, the reason this is a big deal, and we're not sure if this is true, I'm just going to tell you what I'm looking at right now. This is a story from MSN, Microsoft. Jamie Foxx. I'll just read it because I don't know what to believe. Jamie Foxx's bizarre health journey continues as new details have emerged surrounding his ongoing medical state. Allegedly, a source close to the 55-year-old actor claimed that after getting the COVID vaccine, he experienced a set of health complications. AJ Benza, a journalist in Hollywood, shared that Fox is, quote, partially paralyzed and blind following the shot. Fox vehemently denied receiving the vaccine, but was forced to because of the mandatory procedures on a movie set. While appearing on Dr. Drew's online show, Benza confessed that Fox got the blood clot in his brain after he was given the vaccine. Benza used to work for the New York Daily News. He used to be on Stern. He claims that details are coming from an insider, someone in the room who happens to be in Fox's close circle. The inside source is someone who possesses knowledge of his hospitalization. So if this is true, they also mentioned that Mike Tyson said that Fox had a stroke. His condition's been kept very secret for good reason. But this came out yesterday and people ran with it. And now you can find it anywhere. Fox had a stroke and is now partially paralyzed and blind. And they are attributing it to, this not, you know, allegedly or whatever, partially due. They're saying it's due to the vaccine, which was mandated to be on the movie set. That thing blows up. That's a crime. That's a scandal. You can't tell me otherwise. A superstar actor like Jamie Foxx, only 55 years old. If this is true, that's a big if. I don't know if I believe it. I really don't. It's if it is true, if we find out he's blind and paralyzed because of the vaccine, good luck if you're Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whoever. That's good for Robert Kennedy Jr. That's good for DeSantis, anybody who is at all anti-vax. Keep in mind, our president kicked people out of the military, threatened people with their jobs, said, my patience is wearing thin with people who resisted the vaccine. Well, I'm going to guess Jamie Foxx, his family wishes he had resisted the vaccine. I think we're done. If this is true, I think we're done talking vaccine, at least for now, until there's a little more research done. But you should feel good, Ironhead. Anybody who resisted, despite all the pressure, should feel good about their decision, because the idea that in this country, just two years ago, healthy young people, healthy whatever, 55-year-olds were forced to get a shot that doesn't do anything for them. It doesn't stop them from getting COVID. It doesn't stop them from transmitting COVID. And we're still going to act like Fauci is a man of a virtue, is not a scoundrel and a scumbag and a criminal. Good luck, Donald Trump, handing the country over to Fauci. All right, let's get to, let's do Shay. And you know what? We'll finish with the cover of Glamour magazine, a glamorous lady on the cover of, we've reached peak insanity in this Pride Month when this is the person on the cover, but let me do Shay and we'll get to that. As you know, Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed at your home. This is your spring project, people. If you're building a new home or remodeling or replacing an old staircase, Shea has great values on designs that will fit your home. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. Make your front steps the talk of the town and do it now. Do it this spring. No reason not to. You know that removing the stairs is a pain. They're heavy. They're awkward. And where do you take them when you get rid of them? Shea will take care of all that for you. They leave it to them. When they're done, you'll have a great-looking new entrance that will add value to your home. It's more than an upgrade. It's an investment. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey insulation experience. In a few hours, you'll get a brand-new front entrance. Learn more at SheaConcrete.com. And while you're there, you can look for a job. Shea Concrete is hiring. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people and skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. That's it. Go to SheaConcrete.com. All right. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm going to declare victory. But a couple of things happened on the first 2 days of Pride Month. First of all, the movie, What is a Woman?, Matt Walsh's movie, the Daily Wire's movie, was supposed to be released on Twitter. It was a big fight at 8:15 last night. Twitter wanted to limit its reach and put labels on it, said it's whatever, unsafe.
While Musk was in China, by the way.
Oh, is Musk still in China?
No, he's back now, but that's where he was while this began.
Oh, so they announced that they were going to put it, let me get this, they announced it was going to be released on Twitter. Then the weasels went to work and tried to stop it and then tried to label it. This is the best news. This person, Ella Irwin, head of Twitter's trust and safety, resigned abruptly yesterday. So obviously she was trying to stop the release. It was crazy when you think about it. There's nothing. There's no violence. There's no swearing. There's no sex. There's no nudity in this movie. It's just discussions about transgenderism. We played some of it yesterday. Talked to a father whose daughter is being transitioned in Canada, and he was jailed for misgendering his own daughter. I mean, there's stuff like that. Matt Walsh goes to Kenya and talks to these tribes about transgenderism, and they're all confused because it's an American phenomenon or a Western phenomenon that's just brand new and it's crazy. It's a good movie. It's an entertaining documentary. So they decide they're going to release it on Twitter, and all these weasels, these authoritarian leftist censors go to work trying to stop it. They did for a while, but ultimately they failed. The movie was released uncensored. You should watch it. Matt Walsh declared victory, said he'd co-opted the first day of Pride Month. Today, we learned that a bunch of companies are taking the flags off their logos, including Major League Baseball on their website, took down the flag, the Pride gay transgender flag. That's a small victory when you think about it, because things were just out of control. The flag were everywhere. I think the Target boycott, the Bud Light boycott are working better than we ever could have imagined. Glamour magazine didn't get the memo. introducing, says there, this is Glamour's Twitter tweet about this, introducing Logan Brown, Glamour's June Pride cover star. Quote, I'm a pregnant trans man and I do exist no matter what anyone says. This is a hideous looking woman dressing as a man, haircut like a man. I can't tell if she has a beard and she's got a pregnant belly sticking out of her suit. This is the cover of Glamour magazine. I'm old enough to remember where Glamour magazine had glamorous women on it. And that was the whole point. Now they're celebrating this lunatic who is already had the baby, by the way, a girl. And let's all pray for that poor girl. Logan was born female, but now identifies as a transgender man. Unexpectedly became pregnant with his with her partner, Bailey Mills, a non-binary drag performer. While taking a break from her testosterone treatments due to health reasons, so she stopped taking testosterone, got pregnant with her non-binary drag queen partner, and now they have a baby girl, and God please bless this poor girl.
It's probably a baby they, actually.
A baby they, you're right. It is a baby they, and that kid has no chance in life. But look at this. You're telling me there's a single person who's going to pick that up on the newsstand and buy it?
Oh, interesting read here.
And be seen reading that, like on the subway or on a flight? I didn't leave enough time for comments and questions again, but let me try.
We can take some questions.
Did we get all our spots in, Ironhead?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good. Mark Landers is throwing up. So was I. I saw the Glamour cover and I said, this is one of those memes. It's a Pride Day. People are making fun of Pride Day. It's real. That is a real woman pretending to be a man and showing off her big pregnant belly and being celebrated by a fashion magazine. I don't know. Yeah, right. Mark says, I was shocked. My employer never made me get the jab. That's true. Some people held out and they should be proud. I say that to you, Ironhead. Oh, this guy's mad that I said Tom Bernanski was a dink. What happened? He had me over for Christmas when I was in the Navy. We played poker and drank Jack Daniels until 2 a.m. That's from Dan. Well, good for you. I was surprised. I saw Tom Bernanski do one of the meanest things. He was sitting in his locker in the Red Sox clubhouse, and they were interviewing the player next to him. It was a bunch of people. I forget who it was. It was probably Mo Vaughn. And they're interviewing the guy, and Bransky had a bad day, and he was pissed. He was smoking a cigarette, and he reaches out and burns the strap on the camera, burns a cigarette hole in it. And the cameraman looks, goes, hey, do you mind? He goes, what did you say to me? And the guy goes, please, you know, we're trying to work here. And Bransky sat back down, but I said, what a joke. I watched this with my own eyes. Maybe he just had a bad moment, Dan. I'm glad he had you over for Christmas. Anyone else here? Look at all these comments about. It's true. Did Biden even play football at Delaware? He was so good he was going to play at Navy, and he went to Delaware.
Well, what's your favorite? Roger Staubach, you got to move, you know?
What's your favorite Biden lie? That's a good one. I would say, to me, it's. There's so many to choose from. That's up there, saying he was going to go to Navy, but Staubach had the position locked down. To me, the craziest one is that he got arrested trying to see Nelson Mandela on Robben's Island in South Africa. He, you know, like, they keep track of those things, Joe. They keep track of them. He didn't get arrested, and he had to admit he made it all up. I guess the best lie would be he never talked to Hunter about his overseas business dealings. Jerry, has any of your woke liberal friends defected from the Democrat Party yet? Good question.
I've had one.
Here's the problem, and tell me if you agree. The wobbly Democrats who look at Biden and just can't believe what he's doing to this country, they still don't want to support Trump. That's another reason I like DeSantis better, is because I think of those suburban women who hate Trump and didn't vote for Trump in 2020. Mm-hmm. They're not changing. They're not coming around. They won't vote for Trump, but they might vote for DeSantis, especially because he has a lovely wife who's got a major role in this campaign.
Yeah, I grew up in North Reading, so it's like a pretty wealthy town. And one of my buddies, who's a very staunch Democrat, moved out to Riverside, California. Now he's a gun-owning right-wing guy because he actually saw what happens when you vote that hardcore left. So it works.
I mean, I'm going to guess Democrats in Texas and Arizona, or even in, you know, places where they're shipping these migrants, are thinking twice. They're saying, you're destroying my town, my kid's school.
Right.
It doesn't seem like you could ever support that guy. Jerry, when do you think Tucker will be back on the air? Well, this was interesting because when they censored the Daily Wire movie, I'm thinking, somebody had the story, I forget who it was, someone had the story that Tucker got assurances that his show wouldn't be censored or edited by Twitter. And he must have been looking at that going, wait a second, they're censoring a movie about transgenderism? I think Tucker has to get assurances from Musk. Maybe it's good that it's definitely good that this woman, this crazy, the racist woman, by the way, they find a whole record of posts, anti-white posts from this woman who resigned abruptly yesterday. Maybe it's good that she's gone. I think Tucker has to come back soon. You know, people want it. There's so much to talk about. When he returns, it's going to be huge. And if he returns to Twitter, I think he doesn't violate his contract with Fox. If he doesn't go to a Newsmax or another TV network, I think he can do Twitter without negotiating a settlement with Fox. So hopefully it's soon. But all right, that will do it. We got to wrap it up on this Rumble Friday. You can go to Rumble over the weekend and watch the show. If you missed any part of it or just want to see what Ironhead looks like, it'll be all there on Rumble. And maybe one of these days we'll have every show on Rumble. Why don't you work on that too, Ironhead?
We'll do.
We can be on Rumble or Twitter one of these days. Figure it out, would you?
I will.
You will?
Yeah.
You promise?
I can get us on our own Rumble soon.
I know, but I don't know if they'll like that.
Yes, I don't think they will.
We'll see. We will leave it there for today and for this week. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday morning.
Here tonight, shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Who thinks it takes... Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
Hi, it's Tony Marino, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast, your daily news bulletin of Newsmax's top headlines, along with commentary from our hosts and experts. You can learn more about all of the free podcasts, including Newsmax Daily, Rob Carson, and Jerry Callahan at newsmax.com/listen.